Morning, everybody. Thank you, Martha, for the kind introduction. What I'm going to talk about this morning is the soil science refresher course that I developed for extension educators in Oklahoma. And I was hired at Oklahoma State in the summer of 2012 to teach 85% of the time, but the other 15% is to run a statewide program on extension program on on-site septic systems. And the first summer of the following year, I went around and introduced myself to the county educators and to introduce to them my extension program. And because I also teach soil science, I took the opportunity to ask them what other soil science courses would they use. And after talking to a couple of people, it became apparent that they probably would need a refresher course in soil science, since the average number of years since our extension educators took a soil science course was around 17 years. So I went around the state, and as I introduced myself, I asked some more questions and asked them what teaching approach would they prefer if I offer a refresher course. And they say, hey, something that's not too technical with a lot of hands-on component in it. I also ask, who are your stakeholders? Who are the people who ask you questions about soil science? And they say that they're just two groups of people, those that are interested in agricultural applications of soil science and those that are interested in environmental applications of soil science. So what I did was I developed a refresher course aimed at agriculturists, and another soil science refresher course that is aimed at environmental professionals. Now, the challenge is a basic soil science course is 16 weeks long with 10 chapters in it. So the challenge is to choose which of these topics it's worth, 16 weeks in class in a semester, which would I put in a 6-hour refresher course? And after putting some thought into it, I thought that, hey, we have to start with some intro, some definitions, the boundaries, and, reemphasize upon these extension educators the functions of the soil to reignite in them the passion of protecting and utilizing the soil very effectively. Managing the soil does not just focus on the surface. When we manage the soil, we have to look at the soil with depth. So we have to reintroduce to them properties that are used in soil profile characterization. And it's always that before we go to the field to manage and decide how to manage the field, it's always best that we have some idea of what the soils are in those areas. So we have, we have to reorient them with the web soil survey. We also reintroduced other key concepts that are vital in soil management, including the soil drainage characteristics of classes, soil reaction, and ion exchange. And this is because this is for agriculturists, we have to talk about soil nutrition. So the essentiality of elements was discussed, the fates of nitrogen and phosphorus, as well as management of nitrogen and phosphorus in your soils, as well as the assessment of soil fertility was included as one of the topics, as among the topics, rather. And we have a lot of these problem soils in Oklahoma, acid soils and salt-affected soils. We thought we have to include those as well. So these are the topics for the refresher course for agriculturists. For the other course, which is designed for environmental professionals, I decided to stick to the first, to retain the first three topics. But it's because it's for environmental professionals. Instead of talking about soil nutrition, we discussed water flow. There was really no discussion of Darcy's law or any physics here. We just relied on using a Gardner video, a 1954 video that is still very, very useful and effective these days. What it shows is it shows what happens to water flow if, given certain properties of the soil. We know that contaminants go where water go, so this is a very critical part of this lecture. I also talked about the fates in the soil of contaminants. When we apply, for example, manure, we apply wastewater or sludge, we are going to be concerned about the fates of nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria, and we thought it would be very important to include those in it. So these are the topics for environmental professionals. Of course, the previous slide was for agriculturists. The next question is, how do we do this, right? Again, this is an objectives-driven course, so right at the start, we told them that, hey, our objectives is for you to have a working understanding, satisfactory one working understanding concerning this theoretical items, all the way from the three-dimensional boundaries of what is considered as soil material, all the way to the fates of nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria. We discussed and explained this to them. They have to have a satisfactory understanding of all these concepts at the end of the day. Not just theory, but also practical items as well, like determination of soil texture by field, determination of pH, demonstration of soil charge, hydraulic conductivity, rapid estimation of nitrogen and phosphorus, including looking at the effects of residue quality and decomposition. So if we explain to them that, hey, these are the objectives, and we have to address each of these objectives as we move on in the day. Before we start the lecture, though, to provide some idea of, you know, to give us some chances to be able to assess the effectiveness of this later on, we ask them to kindly self-assess your current, prior to the course, your current understanding or your current recall of those 14 concepts that are identified in the objectives. And we ask them to tell us whether they've totally forgot about it, or they can recall vaguely, so they know the word, or they have a fair working understanding, they know the word, they know what is the definition, or they have a satisfactory understanding, meaning they don't know the word, they know the definition, they can explain it, or they are confident enough to explain it and address questions about it and be able to teach it to people who needs teaching about those. So they have, at the start of the class, they have to tell us their degree of recall and understanding. I didn't tell them, but my goal at the end of the day was that everybody should have at least, the class would have at least an average of 4, or have a satisfactory understanding of all those 14 items that we've identified. Now, how did we deliver this course? The course was for 6 hours, and the first 4.5 hours was devoted to classroom lecture and group activities. It was then followed by 1 hour of lab activities, which would really insisted to be, you know, the our content extension educators insisted to be included in there. And then it was followed finally by 30 minutes of tour to our soil testing lab. Almost all of them submit samples to the soil testing lab, so we thought if they have an idea about what goes on in there, it's going to benefit them. Let me talk some more about this 4.5 hours of classroom lecture, and it's actually composed of a lot of slide aided discussions, but we just don't want them to sit. You know, content extension educators are people on the move. They are output oriented. They just don't want to sit. So we have to make sure that we include hands-on activities as we move along, and time at the computer lab when we talk about the Web Soil Survey. So I guide them how to navigate through the Web Soil Survey website. In the next 6 slides, I'd like to focus on this thing right here, the 1 hour lab activities or demonstrations, because I think that is vital. So what we do is we went to the lab. We've set up a lot of exercises in the lab, and at the start, everybody does soil texture, static important property. And we showed them at first samples of sands, silt, and clay, and we let them feel it when it's dry, we let them feel it when it's wet, so they would know that this is gritty, this right here is slimy when it's wet, this one is sticky. And just to reemphasize that sand is composed of various size fractions that really differ in terms of properties. We showed them this one to show that very coarse sand really differs in terms of properties as very fine sand. And central to the determination of texture is the ability to be able to make a ribbon, and we know that, right? So we taught them, again, how to make a ribbon, but we don't want it to be messy, so we started with Play-Doh, and they enjoyed this. So after, you know, practicing how to make the ribbon and perfecting it, now we shifted our attention to soils with known percentages of sand, silt, and clay. Okay, they do this using the Steve Thine model right here. And then after doing the sample with a known percentage of sand, silt, and clay, we gave them an unknown sample. And they were actually very close in terms of clay content. The class average for both courses was within 4% in terms of clay content. And if you know soil texture, that is very, very good. Right? So everybody does soil texture, and then we divide the class into groups. One group, I was given the instruction to do soil pH determination. They use the meter, of course. They just don't do pH determination. They were taught how to calibrate it, to prepare the soil suspensions, even how to clean the electrodes and care the electrodes later on. They've given samples of just the paper hydrants, just to tell them that, hey, if you want to teach this to an elementary school, you don't have to buy an expensive equipment. Maybe a paper such as this should provide you some good idea of the soil pH, right? Another group was also tasked to do the demonstration of soil charge. And we did a very easy way of demonstrating this. We just have a 6-volt battery. We have wires attached to the positive and negative terminals of that. And we submerge the wires into a slurry of soil. And to demonstrate that the soil is indeed negatively charged, it is very obvious right here. This is soil attracted to the positive terminal, showing us that indeed the soil is negatively charged, right? We also looked at an activity to demonstrate the effect of texture on ion exchange. So we have this setup. We have a clay and a sand soil in there. We place them in the beaker, and then we added a gentian violet dye The coloring agent of the dye is positively charged, so we mix the dye with them, and then we filtered the supernatants. This is the filtrate for sand, a low CEC, it didn't retain much of the blue color. Clay, very high CEC, it retained a positively charged coloring agent. So just simple activities that would aid them in the retention, because otherwise we would be doing this year after year. Right, so just to provide them with more, expose more. The more senses that we expose into the learning process, the better their retention. I think it's proven across the academic world. We also did assigned a group to do comparisons of hydraulic conductivity. Hydraulic conductivity is the readiness or ability of the soil to pass water. We always know, they know, and we know that sands are more conductive than clays. But when asked, what is the difference? How does the conductivity of sand differ than clay? So we packed a column, PVC column, that is packed with clay right here. The other one is packed with sand. This is a Marriott bottle, simple setup just to maintain the pressure heads. If you look at the filtrates, the leachates rather, or the water that go through the bottom, we used a very expansive clay here. So, we cheated a little bit just to show that there are instances that, even with clays, there's really no water flow through it. And sands, after 2 minutes, the beaker was already half full. Again, more physical concepts that they could hold on to. As far as a rapid estimation of nitrogen and phosphorus, this one is very crude, but again, we used two soils, the one that has no sludge applied, the other was applied with sludge for so many years, and we just used a kit for rapid demonstration of the contents of nitrogen and phosphorus. Oh my goodness, allergies. All right, another group was also assigned to determine the effect of residue quality on decomposition rate. This was our setup right here. That's actually an Erlenmeyer flask that is airtight, and inside the flask is just soil, and of course inside that is a vial with KOH, which is the alkali trap. I guess a lot of us has done this in college, right? So what happens is if there's decomposition in the soil, oxygen is going to be utilized by microbes, and they would emit or evolve CO2, and the CO2 would then be trapped in the KOH. And when that happens, it creates a partial vacuum in here, and what happens, it draws water up, right? So if we know the volume of water that is drawn up, we plug that into the gas law equation, we can actually calculate the moles of oxygen that is used in decomposition across different treatments. And we have various treatments. We have soils that are unamended with any residue, soils that are amended with a wide CN ratio, weak residue, and those that are amended with a narrow CN ratio residue. Okay, so just again, simple activities that allows them to retain these concepts in their brain scenario for longer periods of time. All right, just a rough analysis of the evaluations. Again, after all the activities, we gave them the same evaluation sheets, similar evaluation sheets, and we asked them to reevaluate your degree of understanding of all those 14 concepts again, right? For agriculturists, and we're looking at all theoretical and practical competencies or items evaluated here, well, they start with a 2, which means that they vaguely remembered anything, and they now average a high satisfactory, don't have a satisfactory understanding of the concepts, right around 4, which made us very happy. Right, so we've reversed around 17 years of soil science knowledge that has been forgotten, and we were pumped about that. If we look at the theoretical and practical competencies separately, in terms of the theory, the main weakness was an ion exchange and the fates of phosphorus. These are complicated subjects in the basic soils, and I would not be surprised. I'm not surprised that these are the weakness. As far as practical, the main weakness is the demonstration of soil charge. A lot of them mentioned that they really didn't do any activity such as that when they took basic soils. And hydraulic conductivity demonstrations, that's another weakness. This is for agriculturists. If you look at the results for that other course that is designed for environmental professionals, again, they said that they vaguely remembered, and then they end up having a satisfactory understanding, which is, again, is very good for us. Other highlights. 80% of the participants liked the hands-on activities the most. I won't blame them. All participants thought that the scope was appropriate, meaning it addressed questions that their stakeholders asked about them, about soil science. 20% of the students or the participants thought the pace was just fast, and we have no way around it. We're packing a lot of information within 6 hours. We have to go fast. More on a lighter side, they want the same that is for crop science. They want a refresher course, and they say, coffee is very important, and more donuts is also important as well. And with that, that's all I got. And I say thank you, and if there are questions, I'll try to do my best to address them.
Thank you.